Father, we come with what we desire to be the integrity of humility. And we call you glorious Father. We pray that you would pour out the spirit of wisdom and revelation with increase. That we would know you experientially better. That it would be easy to discern your voice, to know your ways, to experience your glory 24/7. Pray that you'd open the eyes of our understanding and that we'd be supernaturally and accurately inspired to know with certainty the unshakable hope of our calling and that we are the riches of your glorious inheritance. And when you look at us, you see your wealth and your treasures that are hidden in Christ. Thank you, the mystery of God is no longer mystery. But you're revealed in Christ and we are hidden in Him. We pray that we would understand by supernatural revelation, not by cognitive cerebral head knowledge, but by experiential encounters with you tonight. What is the incomparable greatness of your power that is towards us who believe? That exceeding great power that you exerted in Christ when you raised Him from the dead and ascended Him on high, far above the powers and authorities and titles and every name that can be named, not only in this age, but in the age to come, and put all things under His feet and appointed Him, Jesus, to be the head over all things for the church. Thank you that the church is the fullness of Christ that fills everything in every way. And Father, we exalt you and honor you and declare out of our hearts that you're the Father of the whole family in the heavens and on the earth. And we pray that out of the riches of your glory, you would strengthen us with might in our innermost being. That together with one another, we would have power to comprehend that which surpasses natural educated knowledge, the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of Christ, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
You,
so that we, the people of God, the sons of God, would be those that carry such a dimension of manifest power on the inside of us, that you will be able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think, according to that working, dynamic, manifest, tangible power operating on the inside of us. Administrate the finished work of the cross, the triumph through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today was a great day, wasn't it? I really believe that we're in a time that God wants us to learn the secret of walking in His presence and His glory on a daily basis. And that the glory isn't a place you visit. The glory is something you carry. I do believe that we are seeing such a fraction of what God desires and has already bought and paid for and made available and accessible for the church to walk in. But the church has been hijacked by the legalists, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the couldn't-sees and the wouldn't-sees. The church has been hijacked by religion. The very religion that was Antichrist, the very religion that crucified Jesus, has come into the church and preaches from the pulpit and sits in the pews. John the Apostle warns us in the last days to be on our guard against the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit is Christ's anointing, the anointed one. The anti-anointing spirit is in the church. Intellectualism is in. Man's incredible talents. Man's ability to communicate. Man's ability in a technology. That's in. We can have our smoke machines and our beautiful lights and our incredible sophisticated choirs and our music, but no cripples get out of wheelchairs. No blind eyes open, no deaf ears open, but man sits there marveling at the amazing ability of the human talent. That's fine. But when you see the glory of God, you don't sit there being impressed. You fall on your face, which is the only posture worthy of an encounter with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The reason why there's so many Christians that lack passion is because they've never met God. They have met preaching. They've met the Bible. They've met a baptism font. They've met doctrine and they've met theology. They've met church. But they've never met God. Because if you meet the Creator of the heavens and the earth, your curly hair will go straight. Someone's saying, well, you obviously haven't met him. No, I had to put curlers in to get this. When you meet God, the very notion, entertaining the very idea of being self-indulgent and self-centered is so ludicrous you want to puke. The very idea of entertaining the idea of being comfortable and having a nice settled life and a happy little family is nauseous. The blood and the guts of Calvary was not to have a comfortable, nice church. It was to have a people that meet God. And after meeting God, their eyes see everything differently. They look at the world through the paradigm or the lenses of revelation knowledge. They don't look at the earth from the earth anymore. They see the earth from the heavenlies. They live from the invisible to the visible. They live from the eternal to the temporal. They live from the heavenlies to the earthlies. So much of the church today is filled with nice people. So contrary to Christ, He was the foreignest, furthest thing from nice. And especially if you were a religious person, you would not call Him nice. You would call Him a candidate for crucifixion. You would sneer and hate Him. For when He spoke in Luke 15 about, if you can't be faithful in stewarding worldly wealth, how can you be faithful with true riches, which is the glory, the anointing? And as He was speaking about faithfulness with worldly wealth, as an indication of how you will steward true riches, the eternal wealth of heaven, it says in the next verse, the Pharisees who loved money sneered at Him and plotted to kill Him. We got politically correct Christians today who do not want to offend anybody because they're so insecure and they're addicted to human approval. Paul the Apostle charged at a bastion of religion that was more cruel and ruthless than Al-Qaeda by 1,000 times. He ran at them with everything he had. He went to prison for it. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was lied about. And he did not say, I need inner healing. And he did not say, I've had enough of Christianity. And he did not say, God, you're not treating me fairly. He said, these temporary light, momentary afflictions are storing up for me an eternal weight of glory. And towards the end of his life, he said, I'm ready to be poured out. I've run the race. I've finished my course. What are you putting into your life now to finish well? What ingredients of grace are you building into your inner being that will guarantee when that last breath leaves your body, you can put your head up and your chest out and say, everything you called me to do, I've done. Now I'm ready to come home. I don't fear death. I just fear the way I could die. I don't want a long process. And I don't want to go after Glenda. Because I can't imagine living without her. But it's not death that I worry about. In fact, I look forward to it. And I'm not lying. What I fear is doing something stupid and I die before I finished what He called me to do. If I cannot do what He's called me to do, to be honest, I'd rather go now. For there's nothing on this planet to hold me up. This planet is a planet filled with corrupted wisdom. It's a planet seduced by all kinds of religious ideas and all kinds of silly, sentimental, new agey priorities. Self-centered, me culture. The only thing we can build into our life that's a guarantee that we're going to finish this race with absolute joy and with complete confidence we've finished what God called us to do is to learn to live in the glory. Because I promise you, it's not about willpower. It's not about how much Bible you know. It's about how much of the tangible, manifest glory of God you can experience after this conference. And on Monday morning, in a month's time, like a little lady by the name of Pam Collier in City Church International, Hong Kong, who lost her son on a Saturday. He died in sleep at 24 years of age. And on Sunday morning, she was standing, worshiping God and leading the prayer before the service. And a month or something, 2 months later, sure, the grieving's there. But she talks of eternity and her son's in that place. It's a horrific thing to meet Christians and you look in their eyes and you see no love for Christ there. It's a horrific thing to see Christians and meet Christians that all they're concerned about is their comfort. It's the most riveting, inspiring and exhilarating experience to meet a Christian who's been through hell, who's been through trauma, who's been through tragedy, who's been through loss, and all it's served to do is make them more dangerous to the devil. Like I said the other day, Paul the Apostle, shut up or we will stone you. Oh, would you please? I'm betwixt the two, whether to go on and be with the Lord or to stay here. We're going to put you in prison. I put me in the Roman prison because I got out of there, but I was just about to lead the head jailer to Christ and then they got me out. It's no mistake. Let's make no mistake. This wave of the glory is a hang of a lot of fun. And it needs to be a lot of fun because in His presence there's fullness of joy. But if we treat this thing as just a whole lot of... And this, folks, this is not a correction on this morning. This is a continuation. What Finney's talking about, what they've been through, what they walked through in the last few years. The only reason they're here and the Finney that I knew 30 years ago is still the same Finney dancing around with childlike joy and Izzy as well is because they've learned to live in the glory. This glory isn't a nice feeling good old time religion. This glory is God Himself coming into the earth to enable us to shine like stars in a world corrupted by distorted religious ideas. The world's problem isn't sin. The world's problem is religion. Can you say amen? Amen? And it's amazing if you will endure hardships and like a soldier because you're walking in the glory of God. It's amazing how God comes through for you. I know what they've walked through and I know how blessed their church is in where it is now. But while they were in Hong Kong, Joshua Mills, a true prophet, was there. And the presence of God was so thick in the place. And he walked down and he was standing there and he stood in front of Finney and Izzy. And as he was standing there, he didn't know them. He doesn't know them. Suddenly he got their number of their street, the name of their street, and the suburb that they lived in. That's a word of knowledge. And then began to prophesy in detail what they'd been through. God will always come through. In the last chapter of that book, Invading the Impossible, I've called it, Let God Impress You. Because we're so busy trying to impress God. That's religion. And if we don't learn to live in the glory of God, in the manifest presence of God, and we're so busy trying to impress God with how good we are, how moral we are, then we are not going to make this course. This is in the presence of the glory. Can you say amen? I was on my rooftop some months ago, and I was having a bra face in Hong Kong. And then the audible voice of God came. I was trying to bra, and then the manifest presence of God came. I could hardly stand. I wanted to kind of hold on the side of the wall. No one else was there. And then God began to speak audibly to my spirit, which is normal for every Christian. And He said, son, will you please tell my people to stop trying to impress me? And son, will you stop trying to impress me? Because I'm not impressed with anything you can do. The only thing that impresses me with man is their faith in my goodness. He said, I promise you, I was not impressed when man went to the moon. I wasn't impressed with the technology. He said, I created the galaxies with my spoken word. And what impresses man doesn't impress me. And what doesn't impress man does impress me. And that's faith. He said, the older son, in the parable of the prodigal son, the older son was so busy trying to impress the father that he didn't enjoy the presence of the father or the reality of the father. And so when the son who had committed sexual immorality with prostitutes came home and the father ran and fell on that son's neck, he was coming home with all that sin all still on him, the smell of that sin, and the father was kissing his neck and the son was saying, I just want to be a servant. The father was saying, no, you're a son, he has the ring, he has the robe, he has the sandals, come in and enjoy all of this. The older son that was working so hard said to the father, all these years I've worked so hard for you and you've never slaughtered a fatted calf for me. And the father said, what are you talking about? Everything I have is yours. But the son that was lost has come home. I wonder how many people going to church are so fed up with religion and disillusioned and cynical and critical now because they tried so long to be so zealous for God and they were so busy trying to impress God with their righteousness and then it never worked. And so now they're just critical, cynical, and living in spiritual shallowness, self-centeredness. God is not impressed with our righteous acts. He's impressed with the righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus. The gift of righteousness. And I want to just talk a little bit about the glory of God tonight. So that we can live in the glory. And stay in the glory. Regularly. And I don't want to be a theological technician and this is such a big subject. I can't even do justice to it. And I would like to believe I'm only going to speak for another 15 minutes. Do not check your watches. I'm not under law. But I don't want to do a big teaching tonight. We got tomorrow and we got Saturday morning. But just for the sake of clarity, I believe there is a shift and there's a distinction between the anointing, the presence, and the glory. The church, at best, mostly, occasionally, it touches the anointing, very seldom the presence, and almost never the glory presence. The anointing is God's enablement. It's God's empowerment. It's the anointing. It's God's ability enabling and helping you to have a good marriage, to raise children, which I said the other day. Raising children is as challenging as trying to raise the dead. You need the anointing for work, for your career. You need the anointing to pray. You need the anointing to read the Bible. You need the anointing to preach. You should do nothing without the anointing. You shouldn't live without the anointing. You should stay fresh in the anointing. Stay in the anointing of God. Don't think of doing anything without the anointing. If you do it in the flesh, it's not going to do much. Do it with the anointing. Then the presence of God is the presence of who God is. It's beautiful. But then there's the glory, and I don't know how to distinguish the glory from His presence. All I know is that the glory has a heavier realm to it. A heavier reality to it. In the anointing, man can just still show off and move in the anointing and have fun and say, come out of that wheelchair. And the kind of, you're still seeing man at work. In the presence of God, there's more attention on God, slightly less on man. But in the glory, there's absolutely no attention on man and all the attention on God. When the full glory of God comes into a room, most people will not be able to get up off their chairs or stand. They'll be on the floor and maybe stay there for hours and won't be able to move. When you see people fall and they get up a few minutes later, that's the anointing. That is definitely not the glory. When the glory comes, they can't get up for a long time. And believe me, when they do, they will never be the same because they met God. Come on now. Remember in Exodus, Moses said to God, he said, because God was really angry with Israel because they were under the law and they had now begun to disobey the law. The Lord said, you're a stiff-necked bunch. I'm not going up with you. If I go up with you, I'll kill you all. He said, I'll send an angel ahead of you. And Moses said, no, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we can't go without your presence. And he says, if your presence is not with us, what will distinguish us from all the other people on the planet? Today, Christianity is not distinguished by the presence of God. It's distinguished by a morality. My dad was an atheist for most of his life, and he was more moral than most Christians. But if he had died in that condition, he would have gone to hell. But I led him to Christ 3 weeks before he went home. And so then God says, okay, Moses, my presence will go up before you and will give you rest. There's rest in God's presence. And so Moses has got the guarantee of the presence now, but now he pushes it even further. And he says, Lord, okay, your presence will go with us. Okay, Lord, show me your glory. He didn't say, show me your presence. He said, show me your glory. And God said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. Because the glory is the weighty substance and tangible self-manifestation of all the being of God. An experiential manifestation. And when Moses asked for that, God said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock because you cannot look upon me, my full glory, and live. And so Moses is hidden in the cleft of the rock and he sees the hind parts of God going by. He sees the trace or the trail of the afterglow. The glory came past him when he was hidden and protected from it. And then the glory goes and goes and it fades and it fades and it fades. And then he sees the hind parts of God, the fading glory of God. Because under the law, it's only a fading glory. But in the new covenant, it says that we can look at the glory that shines in the face of Jesus. Because we have the righteousness of God now. And we're no longer under the law. Every time you see the glory in the old covenant, it's going away from you. In the new covenant, the glory is never meant to leave you. It's never meant to go away from you. And you're meant to live in it all the time. But the reason why the glory fades in the church is because we're living under the law, not under the new covenant. Can you say amen? If we can see this, if we as a people tonight can capture in this brief message the simplicity of this, we can live in an unfading glory. And what will that mean? Shadows healing the sick? I remember 1981, I didn't know about the glory, but he was teaching me about the anointing. Good place to start. You can't get in the glory without the anointing. The anointing anoints you to go into the glory. I remember the first time I got anointed, I went up to Kenneth Hagin for 3 days. I came back. I was changed by the anointing of God. Most of our church got lifted off their feet, thrown through the air. That was not the glory, that was the anointing. Imagine what the glory will do. You won't get thrown through the air. You won't be able to move. You'll be stuck. When the glory comes in the room, whatever posture you're in, you could be that way for a few hours. Maria Whitworth Ether stuck her hands up like this, and the glory came, and she stayed that way for 3 days. Not blinking, not moving, not peeing, not doing a thing for 3 days. And thousands of people got saved, and over 3 days, something like over 100,000 people came through the tent to look at the frozen lady. And as they came in, the glory was so thick and heavy that the awe and the sacredness and the loveliness and the beauty of God was so manifest in the place that hardened sinners just got down on their knees and bowed their hearts to Christ. At the end of 3 days, she came out of the trance and she continued the sentence where she'd been frozen halfway through a sentence. She came out the glory and she carried on in that sentence from where she left off. And she didn't realize 3 days had gone, because the glory is the eternal realm. It's the timeless realm. The glory is outside of time. The glory is not limited to time. If you go into the glory, you can go back into your past, or you can go into your future. You can go back into your past before that car accident and come back into your presence without the injuries that that car accident caused. And if you go in the glory, you go into the powers of the age to come. The glory realm is way beyond anything we could imagine. It is not the anointing. In the anointing, we're not going to have teleporting. In the anointing, we're not going to be here one day and suddenly in Hong Kong, all of you. Beijing. The anointing won't do that. But the glory, the quantum physics of the glory. You cannot get caught up into the heavens in the anointing, but you can in the glory. I want you to just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because David said, "You are the glory and the lifter of my head." It's in the glory that your head lifts, your eyes light up, you're refreshed. You're not going to multiply bread and fish in the anointing, but in the glory you will. You're not going to walk on water in the anointing, but in the glory we will. The church has learned a lot about the anointing, and we need to learn a lot more. But I promise you, we're living in the days where the knowledge, not just the glory, the knowledge of the glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the glory, the revelation of the glory, the priority of the glory, the substance of the glory. When the anointing is around, we worship ministries tragically. And then they fall and we get disillusioned. When the anointing is on a ministry, we say, "Oh, great, great, great." But when the glory comes, we forget about man. And we're caught up with it altogether. Lovely one. This lovely one came up to a little farm here up at Cater Ridge in 1975. And I, with my head shaved in tilak clay from the Ganges, studying Bhagavad Gita as a Hare Krishna, the glory came into a cell there. And I heard the audible voice as a Hindu devotee. I encountered God in a temple. And the rest is history 32 years later. You can't leave when you've met with God. I didn't get church. I met God. David said, "You are the glory and the lifter of my head." I've met people that I cannot believe they're still alive, or how they even cope with the trauma they've been through. And yet they integrated people with a texture of sanity and wholeness, because they're people that know the realm of the glory. A matador knows that they can't just give one killing blow to the bull. When that bull comes out, man, it has been prodded in the background with hot irons, and it comes out there and it's angry and it's raking the floor. And I tell you, there's a little Portuguese matador there dressed in a like ballerina suit with all flowers and things. It looks pathetic, you know, and it's just like ridiculous. And if that bull targeted him, it'd just stretch him out across the sand like polyunsaturated margarine, and it would be the end of it. It's so pathetic. But this guy comes up with a red cape, and the bull has never learnt the lesson. I don't understand it. Ignore the red cape. Go for the ballerina. It's all over. This is like, it's like, allay. Allay. I was so grieved the other night. I found out that ole, 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 it's not African, it's Spanish. And every time, the deception of the red rag. He can't give one killing stroke. He's not strong enough. He doesn't have the weapons. All those blades are designed to do is strategically cut, systematically, the muscles that hold up the bull's neck. And slowly he cuts each muscle until the bull cannot lift its head. And then comes the killing stroke. The devil knows he can't take you out in one killing stroke. So he gives you decoys and things to run after. To love money more than Jesus. To love your children more than Jesus. To love your ministry more than Jesus. To love your church more. To love your husband more than Jesus. He gives you things to distract you and pull you away. Or mostly he'll put the law and the rules and the regulations and guilt and condemnation on you. And it's a little killing stroke of condemnation. Guilt. Condemnation. Guilt. Until the head drops. And then, wow. And you're gone. He is the glory and the lifter of my head. If you're not living in the glory, you've got a hard time keeping your head up. And at the beginning of this conference, there was a number of people, you had a hard time getting your head up. But just a day and a half of exposure to the glory, and now we're ready to eat tiger steaks and drink gunpowder soup and charge walls and leap over walls and smash everything down and just make my day, devil. I'm going to kill you. I will smash you. But what will it be in 3 months' time if we don't learn to walk in the glory, to live in the glory? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me tell you what we're going to read. I hope I'm not being boring. My 15 minutes is already gone. Thanks, Steve. It's timeless. That's true, eh? That's timeless. Eh? Anyway, I won't go there. Thanks, Steve. I've only been 3 minutes, Steve says. We spent a few days down the coast, and I've known Steve for some time, but honestly, I said to Glenn not to go back. I learned more about Steve. He's actually an incredibly caring man. I really mean that. He's got emotional intelligence. He's sensitive. He discerns atmospheres, and he's just there. Caring. I mean, if I was a woman, I could get married to him. I'm serious. No, I just want to say the people of this church are very privileged to have a pastor like this. I really mean that. Incredible. And he's not just a loving, caring man. He's a man of tremendous vision. But I'm saying, we're going to read 2 Corinthians 3. This is what we're going to read. So I'm going to tell you beforehand so I can brainwash you to read it through my bias lenses. No. I'm going to tell you what we're going to read and you tell me afterwards if what I've told you before is the truth, okay? So you check my theology out. But remember this, that on Mount Sinai, if you haven't got time to describe it all, go back and read it. But on Mount Sinai, when the coming of the law, the giving of the law, it was so, the mountain was splitting, the fire, the glory, the presence of God was so manifest. The people trembled. They didn't want to go near the mountain. It was awesome. The finger of God writing on tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. God was there in such glory. And Paul is about to say, that glory, compared to the glory that comes through the gift of righteousness, through the new covenant, that glory on Mount Sinai is like no glory at all compared to the glory to be revealed in the glorious church. Then Paul says, seeing we have such a hope for this glory, we are very bold in what we say. Hope means I haven't seen it yet. Paul went up into the third heaven and he saw things in the glory realm, but when he came to the earth, he had not yet seen the fullness of the glory in his life or in his time. But he says, I have this hope that there will be a church that will see an unfading glory that will make the glory on Mount Sinai look like no glory at all. I live for that day. I live for the people of God who will struggle for religion, struggle for self-centeredness, struggle for earthly shallowness, and be caught up in a quest to see the earth covered with the knowledge of the glory of God, with billions of people turning to Jesus. I've lived for 5 years with a burning quest that keeps me awake at night to see 1,200,000,000 Chinese people who've been robbed of the privilege, of the pleasure, of knowing the living God. It was not a cultural revolution. Communist was a destruction of everything beautiful and godly. And for 70 years a nation has lived under the tyranny of the absence of the reality of God. But the Chinese people were a people who 5,000 years ago had a language as ancient as Hebrew. And in their language and their character, many of the words of the Bible are seen as signatures and codes within the characters of the Cantonese or the Putonghua language of the Chinese people. Yet they've been robbed, they've been brutalized by the Japanese, by the British Opium Wars, by endless invasions and emperors that destroyed them. But I say to you, China, your day's coming. The church will arise and the glory of God will cover China. Will cover China. And we will preach to millions in the nation of China. Not under just the anointing, but standing in the midst of miracles, in the smoke of the glory, in the cloud of the glory. We will stand in the glory, greater than the glory that was on Mount Sinai. We'll stand in that glory. How do you reach billions of people in India? With just anointing preaching? Door knocking? Tracks? Smoke machines? Culturally engaging meetings? If you have 20,000 in your church in India, you're not even touching the scratch on the surface. And in South Africa, how are you going to change the surge towards secularization and humanism and self-centeredness and the abandonment of the kingdom of God in a quest for greed, financial wealth? The corruption that is in so many places, how will that change? By moral preaching? Never by moral preaching. By preaching the law? Not by preaching the law. By preaching, do better, stop your sins, that will make it worse. But by the church coming in to the manifest glory of the new covenant, a people that are willing to face persecution, a people willing to face abandonment, a people willing to face stresses and being targeted by the enemy and buffeted sometimes day and night by the messenger of Satan who hates this grace message getting out, but will stand up at 3 a.m. and go down and walk the floor until the glory comes and then peace comes and we'll go back to bed and wake up like a baby the next morning. But we will not leave it to someone else to pay the price, but together as the priests of God, we will not bring the glory back on a Philistine cart where the wrath of God will break out and stop it, but we will carry it as the royal priest on our shoulders, stopping every 6 feet, every 6 steps, which is a number for man, to worship God and make sure our hearts are aligned to heaven, our GPOs are aligned to the heavenly realms, and then pick the glory up and go together, rank upon rank, standing together, whole churches marching together, paying the price to see the full manifest glory of God come into the nations. It's not church as normal on Sunday morning. It's not the pastoral comfortable political camps. It's not the cute little Christians that have got their little moans. It's the apostolic prophetic equipping the believers to see they are sons of God. They are royal priests. They are the light of the world. They are the carriers of the glory. They are the ambassadors of the highest government in the universe, authorized to topple a world temporarily overrun by an illegitimate, defeated devil and advance the kingdom of heaven. They will see the controlled governments of evil. We'll see the child sex trade in Africa stopped. Do not think that the end of the age means the end of this world. The end of the age Jesus talked about meant the end of demonic evil reigning on this earth and the breaking in of the fullness of the kingdom of heaven where there'll be no evil on this planet. There'll be no pollution. There'll be no polluted earth. There'll be no wars, no earthquakes, no tsunamis. A glory that will cover the earth. Then God will take this earth and He'll burn it up and melt it. And with that which He melts, recreate out of the substance He first created the earth with. And God's dwelling place shall be with man. Forever and forever. And if you don't like the glory now, you are then not going to like heaven. Because there'll be a whole lot of shaking going on. And there'll be a lot of manifesting going on. And when you stand on a flower in heaven, it'll just come straight up again. And there'll be no sickness, no cancer, no disease in heaven. But in the meantime, Jesus said, this is your assignment, not to go to heaven. This is your assignment. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Puffy earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do not ask why people are dying of cancer. Do not ask why the soil is corrupted. Do not ask why there are racial wars. Do not ask why God doesn't do anything about it. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has now been given to me through the cross. I've cancelled first Adam's lease. I've cancelled the laws, the rules and the regulations. I've triumphed over the powers and authorities. I've given you my righteousness. Now you go in my name and you disciple nations in my name. The church sits on its blessed assurance. Make sure it's got good retirement. Happy holiday homes, boats, cars, and a happy self-centered life. And if someone offends them, I'm leaving church and I'm going to sit out there and complain that life isn't fair. You are not on heaven yet. You are on a battleground called earth. This is a war zone. You're not surprised when people shoot at you. When I went up to Angola and SWAPO shot at me, I didn't say, I'm resigning, Sergeant Major. They're trying to kill me. What has happened to the church today? Inner healing, psychological therapies make me feel happy. If you come to City Church International Hong Kong, 90% of the people, they will laugh at that idea. They are soldiers, man. They have no other option with me leading them. You come to our prayer meetings and it's just rumors and hours go by in the glory and crying out, not for me, crying out for Beijing, for China, for Hong Kong. Crying out for people to come from nations that have a church on every corner. Come to where there are billions. Those who want to plant churches in New York and in America and all that, great. But hey, why don't you come? I'm amazed at how few from the church, the movement that believes in going to the nations. I'm amazed at how few plant churches in Tokyo, Beijing, India. Anyway, that's horrible. Let's move on here. I wonder if it's just motives to get out of the crime rate in South Africa to go plant a church in Australia. Well, you did that, Ron. That's why I can say that, but that wasn't my motive. All right, now I'm being nasty. I'm going to change the subject quickly. Hallelujah. Disciple nations. Because one day we'll give an account of the state of the earth when He comes back. He made Adam and Eve the ones who carried the dominion in the earth. And they surrendered that dominion to Satan. So, last Adam came, got that dominion back, and gave it to the church. And the church has comfortable Sunday morning meetings to keep a congregation happy so they'll come back next week and pay their tithes. And this is accepted as blooming normal. And anyone who speaks like this is, oh, that's just Rob. He's always had this sort of fringe lunatic. If you think this is fringe lunatic, then you haven't met Jesus and you haven't met Paul the Apostle. Because I haven't walked into church yet and kicked over the tables and cracked a whip. But the Savior that I love did. And I wonder what he would do if he really turned up in the average Sunday morning church. In the United States of America, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. I wonder what Jesus would do. That's why they don't want him to come. Instead of having the smoke of his glory, they have smoke machines. And brilliant lighting and sophisticated choirs that could sing so beautifully that your emotions are moved, but there's no anointing. Certainly no glory. Well, I'm just saying something's got to change because I'm not traveling to parts of the world and regions of the world to give people an anointed service for a week or two or a service or two, half kill myself to get there, jet lagged and pour out myself and say, that's beautiful, we felt a bit of anointing. We don't normally feel this when you're not around. Now, next time you get a chance, come to town. I want to say, look, blow that, I'm never coming back. My feet are going to be dusted off. Because if you don't rise up and size up with the gift of the lift and the discovery that brings recovery, then I'm going to keep going into Beijing, into China, where you go in there and these people in China, you sniff the gospel and they just get saved. and they walk. And our teams go in now and they just see so many. If we could put 1,000 people on the field in China and support them financially for 1 month, they would lead 100,000 people to Christ. But in many churches, that money is about the carpet or, you know, the lighting or the smoke machines. Now, I'm being a little bit hard, and it's not to do with you people. You're here week of, you know, you're here in this conference, and you're here because you are hungry. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that if you don't become acutely aware of this, then you will just settle for the norm that you're seeing around you as supposed to be the climate of the kingdom. It's not the climate of the kingdom. It's demonic. It's a religious demon, and it's not the kingdom of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, so that's 15 minutes just nearly up. No, I'm sorry, but guys, I'm telling you, there are guys taking ministries in, and they're saying, when you come, we want a few miracles, we want a few healings, and we wish we could have this every time. I'll say, yes, you can. All the elders just repent. All the deacons just repent. All the self-centered people just repent. And say, Lord, I want to meet with the living God and never be the same again. And I want to have an adventure, and I want to love you and enjoy your pleasure and laugh every day and have a whole lot of fun. But I want to make with laser-like intention my focus to fulfill your will for my life by being in the glory every day. What we're going to read here is that the glory of the new covenant you and I are meant to be walking in and can walk in is greater than the glory that was on Mount Sinai. Then also what we're going to see is that the reason why the glory doesn't stay is because of the law. Now the law is written on tablets of stone, is that right? And the law is called, you'll see it, a ministry of death. So if you come under the law, you're coming under a ministry of death. It will kill the life in the church, it will stop the anointing, it will stop the glory, and when it does all of that, you have to supplement or substitute for the absence of glory with religious entertainment and hype and just catering to man politically and pandering to them, their self-centered culture. But when the glory is there, the most selfish people fall on their faces and surrender their entire life and everything they have for Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? You're going to see that the glory of God will come in an unfading way when there is righteousness as a gift and the people of God believe it. Alright, shut up now, Rob, and let's just read it. Alright. We're going to see that the letter is the law, the Ten Commandments. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us as competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry that brought death, folks, can you believe there is a ministry that brings death, and many places this thing that brings death is being preached. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, so we know the ministry that brings death is the Ten Commandments, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, Mount Sinai, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men, the ministry that brings death and condemns men, if the ministry that condemns men is glorious, so don't get carried away when you see legalistic churches having some glory there. Just detect how long that glory stays. Does it stay decade after decade? No, it often won't stay even hardly for service. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Now folks, we've all heard about the gift of righteousness yesterday morning. Verse 10, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. What was happening on Mount Sinai has no comparison now with the surpassing glory that's available for the church. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull Any time you go to a legalistic church and you preach, you just see dull minds, passive minds, people that have no passion. But their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom! And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. To the degree we have turned to the Lord, to the degree we've turned away from the law and the ministry of death, to that degree the veil's coming off. To that degree we reflect the original glory of God that's undiluted. If I've turned this much towards the Lord, that means I've got a quarter of the veil taken away. Then the mirror of my life has 25% power to reflect. But if I will fully turn to the Lord and give Him and believe that I am the righteousness of God, even just after I've sinned, just after I've just made a mistake, just after I've done something seriously wrong, but I'll stand up and say, Father, I thank You that because of what happened at the cross, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm not under the law. As I do that, the veil gets taken away a bit more. Then a few days later, I mess up. The devil's trying to push condemnation like a little sword into my muscles of my neck. And I just say, Lord, even though I failed and sinned, I thank You because of the cross and the gift of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God. The veil comes off a little bit more, and the glory starts lifting my head up. And suddenly lies are being slammed shut, and my mind is being renewed. And my mind thinks for the glory. My mind thinks under the glory. The cortex of my brain is being supernaturally charged to be renewed. So my memory is getting better and better. And my youth is being renewed like the eagle. And I'm more and fire for God. And then the enemy tries to come again. Hardships, difficulties, trials, tribulations. These are laying up for me a greater glory as I turn to the Lord and turn to the Lord. And the hardships come until the devil says, you better leave him alone, because every time we put him under pressure, every time he's persecuted, every time someone speaks lies about him, he turns to the Lord and the veil is taken away. And sooner or later, if we don't leave him alone, he's going to be a mirror that's 100% reflecting the full glory of God into the earth. And then the devil says, but hold on, this thing's spreading. It's not just a few individuals. Whole companies, whole communities, whole congregations are getting caught up in the heavenlies, are getting caught up in the glory, are getting caught up in the new covenant. They are leaving the law behind. The ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation that brings the fading glory that has to be kept by fasting, by endless praying, by beating ourselves up. Oh, they're turning to the Lord. Whole churches are turning to the Lord. There's 5 in Durban. Now there's 10. Then there's 100 in Durban. Now the whole of Pinetown's full of churches, all that are free from the old covenant, all have left the law behind. Unfading glory is filling the place. Whole churches are just turning away from self-centeredness, legalism, religious arrogance, self-righteousness. They're turning to the Lord. They say, Lord, but by Your grace, nothing else will work. I turn to You with all of my heart. Pressure's coming. Hurt's coming. People are hating me. I just lost my job. I turn to the Lord because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Veil comes off. Veil's coming off. Veils are coming off. Very soon you have a whole eldership team. There's not a veil of the law left. Just the glory shining from them. Whole congregations, not a veil of the law left. Whole congregations, not living under condemnation. Someone has shouted unto God. Hey! 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 Yo! Yo! Hey! 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 Yay! Yippee! Yay! Yippee! Yay! Oh! Two glories, Old Covenant glory, New Covenant glory. What's the difference? The Old Covenant glory is God's view and opinion of you through the scrutiny of the law. Old Covenant glory is God's view and opinion of you through the investigation, the perfect exactitudes and the demands of the law. So when he looks at you under that old covenant glory, through the lenses of the law, he just sees sin, failure, and falling short of the glory. And he has to walk away. He has to cause his glory to fade off you, because he's looking at you through the lenses of the law. Under the new covenant, Colossians 2:14, at the cross, I quote directly, the rules and the regulations, the written code that was against us, that stood opposed to us, Christ cancelled it at the cross. New covenant glory. God's view and opinion of you, only, uniquely, only, entirely, and uniquely through the lenses of grace. He constantly, 24/7, every split second, sees you and me as the perfect righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh! And so, He just says, let the glory keep on increasing. And though you may sin, which we all do, except Glenda, no matter how much you sin, no matter how much, listen, I'd rather have sinning Christians on their way to invade the impossible, leading people to Christ, raising the dead, praying for the sick, casting out devils, and knowing that they've got some struggles in their life, then there are a whole bunch of people that we also know they're sinning, but they do nothing. And the more you come into the unfading glory, your whole being is being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus, so that you sin less and less. Now, give me 20 seconds, which in this frame of reference means a little bit more. But I'm going to read to you something. I'm going to close now. God's not going to close. But it was a bit of a serious moment there in the preaching, wasn't there? Could you just feel like God was... Do you know what the divine chiropractor does? He doesn't just come and grab you and rip you around and mess you up. He just sees where the body is out of alignment with heaven. What is it? The GPO, whatever it's called? GPS. Listen, I'm technically challenged, right? True prophetic. You know what's happened in the church for the last 10 years? The prophets have been silenced. The devil has gone off the prophets. They've fallen into sin. And instead of the church holding them and loving them and saying, we need you, the church has kicked the prophets out. They've silenced the seers. That's the unfading glory just appearing. Beautiful.
Church is becoming normal. The subnormal church has been around for centuries, so when the normal appears, the religious call it the abnormal. But it's the return of the normal. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to church, God comes to church and casts out devils. When we threw the prophets out and we silenced the seers and those people that said, I saw angels and I saw into heaven. And the man who's of science and the man of intellect and the woman who of education said, oh, I'm out of here, Martha. You've got weirdos here. They're seeing angels. But those same people say they believe the Bible from generations to revolutions. And you can hardly open a chapter in the Bible without there being angels. And normal human beings seeing angels. Not worshipping angels, angels coming. And you can hardly open a chapter in the Old Covenant or New Covenant and not see people falling, people shaking, people drunk in the Holy Spirit, people laughing, people being raised from the dead, lightning bolts from heaven, manifesting into the earth, radiations of God, the clouds of the glory. Ezekiel saw the cloud, Jeremiah saw the cloud, Isaiah saw the cloud, Jesus saw the cloud, Stephen while being stoned saw the cloud, Paul saw the cloud. I want to say this now, quickly, in closing. When we silenced the prophets, the pastors took over the churches. And they made political comfortable camps. And I promise you, God is restoring the prophets again. Prophets don't just prophesy, they preach. Anne Fanica is a prophet of God, and she's been raised up again. And the prophets are coming back into the earth, and they're coming back stronger. They're coming back stronger. And when we talk about false prophets, we better talk about false pastors. Now God wants pastors to govern the church, but He wants pastors to be connected to apostles and prophets who are signs and wonders and seers and heavenly minded people who find it normal to hear God speak to them on rooftops. And walk in the Spirit. And we shouldn't have to hide our hands when they shake. And because of the pastoral politically correct congregations that cover the earth. Now I'm sorry, pastorally correct congregations will no longer cover the earth. The knowledge of the glory of God is going to cover the earth. And so I just want to smack one more thing and then shut up. We must hold biblical truth in supernatural tension. I don't mean balance. I mean tension. Right now, there are people polarizing into different camps regarding the internal glory and the external glory. Now, I believe that there is an external cloud of glory we see in the Old Covenant. But I promise you, it's in the New Covenant too. But the New Covenant is superior. The New Covenant is primarily about the internal glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. But my friends, we have everything the Old Covenant has and more. The Old Covenant had an external fading glory. We have an internal unfading glory, but we also can have God turn up apart from our internal glory and manifest external glory. We've got people saying today, no, look, don't worry about the external glory, that's Old Covenant. God doesn't show up like a cloud out there. He's just in us. And when we lay hands on the sick, He comes out of us and goes into there. All true, I believe. He's in us, comes out of us when we lay hands on Him. But I also believe there's an external glory out there, whether human beings there or not, God can turn up. In China, God's turning up. God turned up to Abraham without human agency, and He said, I'm El Shaddai, I'll bless you and make your name great. There was no one there speaking. He's turning up in China. He's turning up in Muslim lands. He's turning up to Muslims in their dreams. Glory is coming into the Islamic lands. God's turning up. I don't understand it. Don't have to. God was confined to a box called the Ark of the Covenant. He got out that box at the cross. Never going back in again. There's an internal glory. There's an external glory. Let's have both. There's a flood coming to the earth. When the Noah's flood came, it said the subterranean depths of the earth, the fountains in the earth, opened up and the floods came bursting from the earth. Then it said the canopy over the heavens collapsed and the glory of rain fell. That's the natural. In the last days, how do you think the whole earth is going to be covered with the glory of God like a flood? From the church, the earth, there's going to be the release of the inner glory, and from the heavens, there's going to be the falling of the eternal glory from the heavens. Rob, give me new covenant scripture for the glory manifesting without human agency. What do you think happened when Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threats to go to Damascus and kill Christians? What did he run into? Some cute little Christian with a tract saying, "No, Paul, thou shalt not go any further. The internal glory in me is about to knock you off your feet. Here it comes." Do you have? No. No, there was no witness of human agency there. And Paul was breathing out fist. Boom. Pow. What did he run into? Sovereign glory just ambushed him on the road. And Paul asked the question and answered it in the same sentence. On his back, under the glory, shaking. Do you believe in falling under the power? The person who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament fell under the power. The New Testament you read every day. The man who wrote 3/4 of it, he fell under the power and was caught up into the third heaven and raised the dead. He's lying on his back. "Who are you, Lord?" When you come into the glory, you don't need a theology lesson. You know it's not Buddha. You know it's not Muhammad. You know it's Lord. Jesus. When the glory comes across Beijing, they'll know who it is. They'll know it's not Buddha, Confucius, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They'll know it's Jesus. When the glory of God hangs over Pantan for more than 24 hours, the multitudes of this city will know. God gave me a vision in 1982 of the glory of God covering Pantan. A clear vision, open vision. And I don't want to go into the details there, but it was like, you know, I don't want to go there. Let me just read this to you. This was about 2 weeks ago, because I think, was my 15 minutes up? This is what I felt sitting in my study in Hong Kong about a week and a half ago. There are those who are overly focused on the external cloud of glory. And there are those who are overly focused on the internal cloud of glory. But I say to you that the old covenant was only about external glory, fading though it was. But the new covenant is about internal glory and external glory. The external clouds of the glory in the new covenant is far greater than the external glory of the old covenant. Do not let people condition you to polarize you into camps. Am I not Almighty God, the God of the internal and the God of the external glory? Walk established in me and in my grace, and you shall thrill at the internal glory within you, and you shall see the external glory on display. Ek is die God van die openbaarheid. Ek is die God van wonderwerking bediener. I am the God who reveals the invisible. I am the God who manifests my wonder. I do not hide my beauties, man, my treasures from the humble and the childlike. But it is my delight to reveal my treasures. The invisible will become the visible. The impossible will become the possible. The unusual become the usual. The disconnected will be the connected. The internal, the external. The earthly, the heavenly. Disorder will give way to my order. Shadow shall have substance. Death shall disappear, for life shall suddenly appear. There will be those who will say, "Heresy! This is only for the future age beyond the veil." But I say to you, the future age is here now. For wherever my glory manifests, the powers of the age to come has appeared. And when I appear with you in glory, you will appear in glory. So get ready, for this will operate from this hour. Just lift your voices and give the Lord a shout as it is. Whoa. We worship you, Lord God. We magnify you. We magnify you, O God. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. Ho! Ho! Hey! Mama no so com branderia saca baraba barote. Mama ngogala mama. Kitara mama mando. The Holy Spirit is just adjusting hearts. You know, the Lord wants to heal people. Anywhere in the world, He wants to heal people. It doesn't matter how much sins they've left, how much they've done wrong. It doesn't matter how much bitterness they got in their heart. Under the law, you couldn't get healed if you had bitterness. Under grace, you can get healed with full of bitterness. Just look at the life of Jesus. Healed everyone. It doesn't matter what they had. They just all got healed. You got 100% success. And He said, the works I do, shall you do also, and even greater works. But you know what? We're not focused on healing. We focused on His glory manifestation. That's what we want to align with. Then let's see all the healings we want. Let's trust God tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, Saturday. Let's trust God for physical healings en masse. Because it's the love and the kindness and the compassion of God that wants to heal every sick person. It's His will to heal all, every sick person. If God could have His will today, He would save every person in Pinetown and heal every person and empty every hospital of every case. That is absolutely the will of God. Because He's healed everyone and He saved everyone already at the cross 2,000 years ago. And if His glory will cover cities through the church entering in to the unfading glory and repenting of the law and entering fully into the new covenant, His glory will cover regions and towns and hang there as a tangible substance of God, and the goodness of God will lead whole masses of people to repentance and they will come to Christ. Can you say amen? All God needs is just churches around that come out of law and come into the unfading glory. Notice how quickly she obeys me. For those who don't know, this is my daughter. Who I'm unembarrassingly proud of. Just close your eyes for a moment. I know that Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. And so it's true for us to say, we don't have to hunger, you don't have to thirst, because we'll never thirst again if we drink of the eternal water. So let's try and, okay, that's fine, let's accept that. But what about longings and desires to see more of the manifest glory of God over your personal life? What about longings and desires to stand in the glory that will lift your head, that the weakened faith need to be loved and pastored and shepherded with tenderness, counseled and prayed for. But as we grow in faith, we should need less and less of man's catering. As we mature in Christ in divine wisdom, we should learn how to access the realms of the glory and encourage ourselves in the Lord and get our heads lifted up. If I waited for man's encouragement in Hong Kong, I would have been dead a long time ago. Many times I said, Lord, take me home. I'm lonely, I'm tired, I feel abandoned. And Glenda didn't make me coffee this morning. And then I've lifted my hands on my own without any worship team. And the glory of God's come into that room. My head's got up. And the wounds that were stuck in my neck muscles get healed. And my head comes up. He's the glory. And He's the lifter of our heads. Because I can't let my head go down, and neither can you, because there are multitudes waiting for us to fulfill our destiny. I'd love to indulge in self-pity, and I would love to go on a little retirement from the ministry and self-pity. But there's too many who need us. Father, we lift our heads in the glory. And in the glory we will stand and we will lift our hands. Can you sing that? In the glory I will stand.
In the glory.
Where we stand as one, the realm where the nations are healed, and the realm of the glory beyond the anointing, beyond the presence, the unfading glory. Captured our hearts so close, and we love you forever and forever. Our hearts will be true to you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, sing it together, Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, forever.
We love you.
Oh.
loves you.
We love
We're impressed
you.
With
we
you.
Love you.
Receive our love,
we
Lord.
Love
Receive
love
the perfume
you.
Of our love.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you. Oh, we love you. Jesus. Jesus. We do. Glory realm. Stand as one. The nations are healed.
Realm where the nations are healed. It's the glory realm.
Realm.
Your glory
realm.
Your glory realm. Of the Father shines upon us, His countenance shines upon us and gives us rest. The Bible says, lifting up holy hands. Say, Rob, my hands are not completely holy, they've done some wrong things. No, 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 your hands are completely holy. They're holy as Christ's hands. So clean, you're the righteousness of God. You are free from all accusation and condemnation. You are blameless in His sight through the cross. There's no law to judge you. There's no rules and regulations to be a criteria externally evaluating your performance. Christ measured up for you. You are made complete in Him. And I just want you to do something by faith so tomorrow you can test this out. It says, lifting up holy hands. Anytime I lift my hands up by faith, the glory just comes on me. Alright. So I want you to, this is, people say, how do you get in the glory? How many steps are there? Well, under the old covenant, you have to go study the tabernacle of Moses. You got to come in and out the court in these lavers and these candles and blah, blah, blah. And you got to wash your hands, bread, candles, light candles, change the oil. Take the wax out, take the ash out, light, put new oil in. Then you go through this thing and you go through that. And people even teach that today. You got to go through praise, then you go through worship, then you go through this, then you go through that. Old covenant, all covenant. Let me show you how you get into the glory in the new covenant. Holy Spirit, come. Okay, let's try it together. Put your hands down. You didn't get it quite right. You got to lift it at a 45 degree. It's like doing weights. You got to pull it up from here again. Just as a child who knows the Father loves you. If you, good fathers, by earthly standards, but by my standard as a father, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will the Father give gifts to His children? Okay, trusting the goodness of your Father. I want to, not right now, just wait. I'm going to ask you to just do this. And just from your spirit, expect glory to come on you. All right, 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, hold him up there and just expect. Oh, 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 yeah. Ah, bless your children, Lord. Tickle them under the armpits. We are free indeed. That comes a weight. The beauty of His glory. His weight is not heaviness. There's a demonic spirit of heaviness that fades away when the weight of God's glory comes. You shine like stars in radiance in the glory of the King. Kabod is the name of Hebrew in glory. Kabod, it means the weight of God's goodness. The weight of God's importance, the substance and essence of God's tangible goodness and manifestation. People say in the office, that man or that woman, they carry a lot of weight around you. Well, I promise you, walk in the glory, you'll carry a lot of weight. When they want to smash big buildings down, they don't swing a massive big ball. They just take concentrated, intense, dense metal and put it into a small ball and they swing it and whole walls come down. When the concentrated glory of God begins to fill and manifest over your life, you will smash gates of hell down. You will walk through things you never thought you could do. You will stand in the glory and see the radiance of God manifesting through the earth. The day has come when the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There'll be no mountains in the earth too high for the glory not to cover. For the floods of Noah covered the mountains, covered the high hills, that Noah's ark coming down even had to have some kind of vacuum seal on it because it's going up so high. We're going up high. No mountains of opposition will not be high enough. For they shall be all covered by the glory of God. The end of the age is not the end of the earth. It's the end of evil getting away with what it's got away with. No more child molesting. No more children's sex trade. No more oppressive governments abusing women in Iran. No more Robert Mugabe. No more starving and genociding your populations. No more corrupt governments fishing the finances for their own pockets. No more evil churches practicing religion and Babylon, self-centered, self-gratifying religion, contraception religion. No more evil. No more religion. Christ's glory, covering the beauty and the loveliness of His kindness. And He'll cover the children and He'll take up the babies and kiss them and look after them and say, suffer the little children to come to Me. The orphans will be loved and cared for. Mothers and fathers will speak tenderly in the homes to one another. And the children will know peace in the homes. And justice will flow like rivers through the nations. We are not sitting at the rapture bus stop trying to escape. Revelation 5:10 says, we are reigning as kings and priests on earth. Didn't say in heaven, on earth. The church is not a lager where we hide on Sunday mornings and just go through our little ego stroking. The church is the people of God, the light of the world, the bread of life, the sons of God. The people equipped to be like Jesus. worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of to do. I give you praise,
for you are my righteousness.
For you are my righteousness.
Yes, you are.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you.
Oh, oh. I worship you, Almighty God.
Oh,
there is none like you.
Oh, in all the earth.
I worship you,
Prince of Peace. Scriptures called the Spirit of Glory. And Peter the Apostle writes and he says, if we suffer, we should not be suffering for evil things that we do, but we should suffer for His name. He says, when you suffer for His name, the glory of God rests upon you. And we want to welcome the Spirit of Glory. He's here now. You can sense Him. I want you just, if you can, lift your hands and welcome the Spirit of Glory. Just sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Just welcome Him. He is the Spirit of Glory. He is God. He is, with all integrity, my closest friend on the earth. He is in the earth. The Father's on a throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father as our great high priest, interceding and mediating with joy and love as our bridegroom. But in the earth is the contact person of the Trinity, God Almighty, Holy Spirit, Allah Parakletos, one who's just like Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going, but He will come and He will replace me in the earth. And you can know fellowship with divinity even greater than you could when you walked with me, says Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, you've come. And tomorrow morning when each of us wake up, we will hear in our spirits, you, Holy Spirit, speaking to us. Good morning, George. Good morning, Fred. Good morning, Jill. I've been over you all night as a hovering presence, overshadowing you. Walk with me. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit.
Don't visit the Spirit on Sunday morning. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. He is the Spirit of glory. He's manifesting the glory of Jesus in this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. You give us access to the Father through the Son.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place.
One more time together.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome
in this place. Amen. Father, of mercy. Just take one another's hands across the aisles. We're just going to agree in kind of a benediction, and those that need to go can be free to go. But I just tell you, I feel the love of God in this place. I really feel His tenderness. And I hope you feel the love and the pleasure of the Father. That's, can you feel the wings of heaven over us? Each of us are seen individually. Each of us, the Father seeing you, your name, everything you are. I want you to practice a new way of living. Instead of trying to impress God, let God impress you. And this is the joy I'm finding. Every time pressure's coming against me, every time there's a problem I can't seem to solve, I'm learning to say, Father, I'm not going to try and impress you how I deal with this Red Sea. I'm looking forward to being impressed by you, how you're going to split this Red Sea. And I tell you, when you give God that opportunity, you are going to be impressed with what He does. Father, we, the sons of God, men and women, there's neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ. The sons of God, the Zulus, the people of heaven. We take one another's hands. Let the rivers of the glory flow down through our fingertips to one another in this holy benediction. Rivers are flowing. Now say there was keep quiet, stop laughing, I'm trying to pray. I'm joking. There's a whole row there. Just you guys ready? You want more fire? One more fire.
You guys ready? 1, 2. You guys sure you're ready? Fire! She's in the glory. She's lost all fear, man. Now you mustn't fall before I pray, because that only looks good if you fall. The women are falling around you. There's a glory zone. I don't want to be super spiritual, but when the glory comes, sometimes he comes denser in certain pockets. I don't know why he just does it. Granville over here remembers in 1981, 82, we were seeing some wonderful miracles. I'd look for where those pockets are and take people into them, and we'd see more results. It's not that God's prejudiced. He's no respect of people. He wants to bless everyone. But sometimes there are people pulling so hard on heaven that heaven can't help but just go into that zone. And there's a pull. There's pockets in areas that there's a pull on heaven. You create the portal. The heavens are open. You create the portal by pulling, by pulling, by pulling on the glory. Hey! Hey! Yes! Okay, you guys ready? Yeah. Look, open your eyes. Don't go to heaven now, right? You're not allowed to go to heaven until I say so. Okay, no. Ready? You guys ready? Okay, close your eyes. Father, you've said, give the Holy Spirit opportunity to impress people and you will show up. This row, yeah. Get ready. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Fire! Fire, 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 fire. Receive. You guys ready? They're not as steal what they've got. You wait. No, I'm joking. Everyone, you don't need a human conductor. We can all just pull. You don't need a human agency. Let me just tell you, when the waters are moving like this, you need to just jump in like you are doing. This is the external glory. It's not coming out of me. It's coming down. This is ikeko. You say, what's ikeko? It's the Greek word. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will ikeko is the Greek word. It's a love word. It means I will pour out my love. The glory has been poured out. Just lift your hands here. Let go on it. Just lift your hands. This section here. Father, I thank you for that release of the glory. Transferable, transmittable, impartation of the glory. I just use my voice as a release of faith contact with the heavens. As these people reach out to you, I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let the fire of heaven fall now in Jesus' name. Fire! Fire! Wonderful. Wonderful. Some are standing there shaking under the glory thinking, why didn't I fall? Hey, listen. You can get standing up. In fact, Daniel fell under the glory. Then God picked him up. It's not about falling. It's about receiving. You guys ready here? On the right hand side? Father, in the name of Jesus, because of mercy, because of favor, because of grace, because of the gift of righteousness, because of unfading glory, because of your love, because of your Son, because of the blood, because of the finished work of the cross, because the law has gone, the fading glory shall no longer fade. We speak of the unfading glory now in Jesus' name.
Fire. 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 Fire of God. Loose your touch. We release heaven. We release the heavens. Release the heavens. We release the heavens into the earth. We speak the heavens into the earth. We speak heaven into the earth. Now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Carriers of the glory. Carriers of the glory. Bold. May the introverts become extroverts. May the shy become bold in Jesus' name. For your word declares that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And we are the righteousness of God. Therefore let the lion of the tribe of Judah roar through the church. Roar through the church. In Jesus' name. Okay. All right, back to the benediction. Take one another's hand. Those of you who still can, take each other's hands. It's the most normal benediction I've ever seen. Hey? Do the Baptist one. Yes, right. How many of you like that Baptist benediction there? Okay, have you got one of the saints? Alright, I want you to speak these words out of your mouths, from your heart, and declare, release the glory of these words. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. No, I'm just telling you something, not that. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So like our words are our thoughts incarnate, clothed and wrapped in verbal sounds, sonics. So when God created the earth, He spoke out of His glory. And when it said He made Adam from the dust of the earth, you've got to remember, the earth had not been cursed yet. When we see the dust today, that's not the stuff you were originally made out of. That actually, that word, if you look in the Hebrew, the word, the dust of the earth, before the earth was cursed, before God subjected creation to frustration, Romans 8, before the fall of man, the dust of the earth, that word dust in the Hebrew, is glory particles. Because God created out of His glory. And when He spoke, the incarnation of His inner being spoke words that created. So when you speak words in the glory and from the inner glory, if you've got the outer glory and you've got the inner glory and you speak words in this atmosphere, you are releasing creative power to one another. Now I want you to say this benediction in the inner glory and with the outer glory over us. Okay, you can close your eyes. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus. Okay, I want you to say it really loudly so people on that side can hear. Okay. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus. The favor of God. That gives us unusual advantages in life. And the love of God that never fails, never fades, and is totally unconditional, and the fellowship, and the intimacy, and the communion
with the exquisite person
of the Holy Spirit
be
with
all
my brothers
and sisters
in this place
now
and forevermore.
Amen.
Give the Lord a shout.
Now I'm trying to close. I hear this word. I know it's the ridiculous one that my mind stumbles with, but I hear supernatural weight loss taking place. Yeah. There's a whole lot of... Just close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes. Alright. Some of you might need to hold on to your pants, alright? No, I'm just going to... Sometimes we've got to do the ridiculous for God to do the miraculous, alright? Just close your eyes. Father, like little children, we're just going to obey you. As a right eye, that child was healed just by speaking a word. That creative word in the glory does the job. So now, Lord, we speak in response to the voice of glory. We speak supernatural reduction in weight loss. Not in weight loss. We repent of those words. We change those words, God. I didn't think it confused God. We speak reduction of weight in Jesus' name. Lord, if you could destroy the Hittites, you can destroy the cellulites. We speak fire. Let there be a reduction in weight. Supernatural. Reduce waistline. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. As ridiculous as it sounds, we declare it. We speak health of a people's hormonal balance. We speak health to the thyroid glands in Jesus' name. We speak health to the adrenal glands in Jesus' name. We speak health to the pancreas, to the liver, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we speak over the whole balance of the human physiology. We say, let the temples of God, the walking embassies of heaven, the physical bodies of the sons of God, now experience the power of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Quicken mortal bodies with life now in Jesus' name. Let cancer go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Health, 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 health to bodies. In the name of Jesus. Liberty, freedom to move the arms, move the legs, bend the back, bend the neck in Jesus' name. Fire. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen. Steve, I don't know what to do now, so you can take over. Tomorrow, we're starting at 7, eh? 9 o'clock tomorrow, come carrying this glory in. Let's start tomorrow morning where we left off tonight. God bless you. I'm going to bed so that you can have some sleep.